Breakfast Business
with Enterprise Ireland
on Newstalk.
The latest assessment of the health of the Irish economy from the Central Bank of Ireland suggests that the economy is performing quite well, but bottlenecks are starting to hold future growth back and may even resuscitate the perception of inflation. And the Central Bank says that Ireland may need 20,000 more homes built per annum than are currently being constructed. It even provides some advice on how to solve the nation's seemingly intractable problem. Dr. Robert Kelly is the Director of Economics and Statistics with the Central Bank of Ireland. And we spoke about that advice, rehousing, but I began by asking about his forecasts for growth for this and next year.
So we see the outlook as being broadly unchanged from the last bulletin, and it's to that point steady of modest growth in the region, as you say, about 2.5%, moving up towards 3% in 2026. And really what's underlying that is two factors. One, we got a fuller picture in terms of the national accounts released from the CSO in July. And they show us that actually the economy performed better than we'd initially thought with their quarterly profile. So that means we've additional momentum coming into 24. But what that does mean is it does amplify some of the labour and infrastructure constraints we see in the economy. And that can lead to domestically generated inflationary pressures. But as we say, at the moment, we see those moderating as long as sector constraints are not amplified.
Now, you talk about the perception of inflation rather than actual inflation. What did you mean?
So this is actually a very important point here. What this is this new survey that's done across the euro area where we actually ask individuals their perception of inflation, what they think inflation is. And what it shows is there's actually a gap between people's perception of inflation and actual inflation. It's considerably higher in terms of the perception. And crucially for Ireland, it's also a case that if you look across the euro area, Ireland's gap is the biggest. Now, while alone this doesn't mean a lot, because it could just be that individuals have different baskets of goods they're buying, or maybe they're more sensitive to the things they buy most frequently, and they are experiencing a higher increase in costs. For example, energy prices we saw rose quite sharply last year. But what it does mean is there's a risk that if these perceptions remain elevated, for example, that they start to influence people's wage negotiations. Now, if that was to happen, back to the earlier point around sectoral wage pressures, they could start to see it manifesting and start to create inflation in itself.
Okay. Are you worried, Robert, that the government largesse ahead of an election could cause problems?
So I think going into our fiscal advice in the last quarter was very much the same as it is now. There are two big challenges when we look at framing the budget. One is that macroeconomic stability point, and that speaks to that. So it's not necessarily about what we invest in, whether it's current or capital investment or tax cuts, it's the extent we do them. And to recognize that the economy right now does have capacity constraints. And if we try to do too much at once across all of those, we could start to create domestically generated inflation.
And you've got a specific focus on housing in this bulletin. You suggest that as many as 20,000 additional housing units per year could be needed on top of the nearly 40,000 units that could be built this year.
Yeah, indeed. So what we did in this bulletin is you say, did a deep dive in housing. What we show is that even though we've seen a large increase, as you point out, in terms of the number of houses over the last year or two delivered, when you look at the CSO population statistics released during the summer, you can break it into two components in terms of what the need for housing is. One is what I'd call the standstill level. So this is what you get from demographics. We know there's an aging cohort of people coming up towards family formation age and household age. And we also know we've migration. And what the CSO very helpfully have done is if they've created three scenarios where they look at different levels of migration. So that's the standstill component. But there's a second one, which is called headship, or the number of people that live in a household. And what we've seen here is the Housing Commission talked about that being suppressed because there's a number of people who would like to have their own home, but maybe continue to live in a parental home, for example, adult children, or they're sharing in rental accommodation and you want to make that move. So those two components, what we've done with the second one is to say, well, actually, to unwind that pent-up demand we've seen over the last decade, we'd see the current headship rate, which is about 2.6 in Ireland, converge to what we've seen as the UK average of about 2.1. And when you combine that and the standstill, indeed, as you say, it rises you up to an additional approximately 20,000 units over the next 25 years. If ever you wanted to unwind that pent-up demand even quicker, let's say over the next decade, that number would tend upwards further to about 68,000 units.
And how do you propose ramping up the supply of construction workers?
So that is particularly the challenge here. We do, when we look at the level of people working in construction, it was about 170,000 in 2022. We've seen a big increase in employment across the economy, but not in terms of construction workers. When we look at indicators like potential and additional labour force, there isn't a big block of people waiting to enter the labour force here. So the real issue is we need to try and think of ways of getting more output from the same block of labour. And really that speaks to productivity within the construction sector itself. And when we look at that and we look at EU benchmarks there, the productivity in the construction sector is below the EU averages. I suspect there's two big reasons. There's probably multiple of detail around us being an island economy and that. But one is scale. We have a predominantly large amount of small builders. Only 3.2% of our construction companies employ more than 10 people. Where if you look at the likes of similar populized countries like Finland or Estonia, those ratios are like 5.5 and 7.2%. And what this speaks to is there's a large fixed cost with building. So not having the size and the scale can make it more difficult to gain from having more construction happening at once, and also can create access to finance issues. The other component is what I'd call scarring. So if you look at from the great financial crisis, we basically haven't invested at the same rate as other European countries in terms of the equipment used by the construction sector. We're about 20% below our 2008 levels. And what this means is we just don't have the same availability of modern machinery to take advantage of technology. And why does this matter? Well, there was a very good Department of Housing report, which looks at modular housing. And the focus there was very much on the cost of delivery, that it's 20 to 40% lower in cost. But there was another statistic that was equally important when we think about these capacity challenges. It takes 70% less labor. So it really is thinking about, are there ways in which we can take our current constraints in terms of construction labor and support more productivity when we think about designing policies going into the future?
Do you assess in your report whether the Planning and Development Act, the second largest piece of legislation ever in the history of the state, will do the job?
Well, I can't speak as to whether it'll do the job necessarily. We're seeing it currently being finalised, but it is a really important component. This is one of those that doesn't necessarily take the financial resources of the state. It's not a spending thing, but it does allow more efficiencies. And we had a piece in the last bullet where we looked at, in an economy just like our own, where we see those capacity constraints, having inefficiencies in the planning means you basically see your infrastructure at a slower timeline, inflation remains higher for longer, but crucially also you get less private investment.
And that's Robert Kelly from the Central Bank of Ireland.
Breakfast Business
with Enterprise Ireland
on News Talk.